Sorry for being tardy. We had some extraneous circumstances that kept us from being on time. So when Sam's mother tells you to eat, you eat. And yeah, all right. Round two, here we go. So this last week, for me, has kind of been, it's been a week of finally, like, slowing down. I was pretty busy this summer. I was working at a day camp, like 3 days a week, like half a day, and then I'd go to work, and then just doing, like, a bunch of other stuff. And so, and then I went to Dallas, and I went to Nashville, and I was pretty busy, and I got to this past week, and I really didn't want to do anything. I certainly did not feel like preparing for this. So So don't say that to, you know, comfort you or whatever. But I was talking with Bruce about, you know, like, what should I, you know, like, what should I say, what should I talk about, and he told me to think of something that would all pertain to you, all of you sitting out there, and I figured since you're all older than me, you must be way more tired than I am, and so I'm going to be talking. I hope the Lord uses this to encourage you. I would like to challenge us all to persevere in our work for the Lord. And just persevere in clinging to Him for our strength instead of ourselves. And so, if you want to open up, I'm going to be looking at three different sections real quick. The first one's in Colossians 3. One to four. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And then the next is Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the Lord set before him, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And the last one is 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. It says, therefore, since we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So, these three passages, with these three passages, I would like to answer the question of how. How do you persevere? I don't know if you guys caught it's in like the middle of most of the verses, but I'd like to ask you just from those passages, where are your eyes fixed? What is your mind focused on? And what is your heart set on? Or where are your thoughts most of the time? What do you spend your time pondering or seeking? I feel like the answer to this question is important because it shows us, you know, what we are focusing on. And if that is helping us persevere. And so how do you persevere? You persevere by setting your heart and mind on the things above, by fixing your eyes on Jesus, or by fixing your eyes on what is seen, or not on what is unseen and not seen. I don't know about all of you guys out there, but when I focus on things other than Christ, the things of this world, and it's very easy to do because this world is very distracting. It's very, you get your attention pretty easily. And pretty soon, I don't know, I just get really discouraged just about like what I see. You've got the hurricanes. There was an earthquake before the hurricanes. I don't know if you guys knew about that. I didn't until this morning. And then, like, I was working in Detroit. When I was working in Detroit this past summer, just the kids that we were working with just came from completely just broken homes. And it was just really, like, really just discouraging just to see all of those things. So what is it that you are focusing on? In Colossians verse 3, it says that, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So we are no longer, we are dead to this world. We are no longer of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, it is verse 17, Paul says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." I don't know what Paul was doing when he wrote this, but, I mean, most of the time, like, I read that and I'm like, light and momentary. How, Paul? Like, really? The wickedness of this world does not seem light, does not seem momentary at all, especially when we are in the thick of it. And it can be just everyday things, just things on the news. Like, I don't watch the news because I don't want to be depressed every day. I don't want to focus on that stuff. But we have to remember to focus on our rock, on our shield, our Redeemer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because although our circumstances are constantly changing, He does not change. He's constant. So we have to remember to take heart because He has overcome the world. Psalm 27. I really, really like this psalm, especially the ending. Because a lot of the time, like, I just ask myself, like where is the justice? Where is your goodness? Like, this world is broken. It's messed up. And like, am I even doing anything to make a difference? But in verse 13, it says, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." And I just love that because it's like, yes, we are not of this world. We are of a different world. We have died with Christ. We are hidden with God. But the Lord still has made good things here. And we can be confident of seeing His goodness now and not just waiting for it in heaven. So I know that probably wasn't super encouraging, you know, the whole wickedness and stuff. But just the point that I'm trying to make is just, what are you focusing on? What are you seeking after? And the next question that I would like to answer is, okay, so how you persevere, you focus on Christ. But why should I do that? And number one, I would just say, just because of who He is and what He's done for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 John 4, 9 to 10. It says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And then the Lord also says, "You know, if you love me, you will obey my commands." And he did command us to continue, I guess you could say, to fight the good fight, to just continue on in our work for him. This morning, I went to the breaking of bread at Curtis, or not Curtis, I was not at Curtis, I was at Middle Eastern, and it was a really, really good, breaking of the bread, and we, like, that's what we talked about. We talked about, you know, who God is, and in Isaiah it talks about just how big and powerful and mighty he is. I've been reading in Isaiah, and there have been a few chapters that just over and over again, it's just been like, "I am the Lord, like, there is no one other than me. Like, I created the heavens, I can rebuke the sea in a word, and it will dry up." And like that God, a few chapters later, you have Isaiah 53, and it describes Christ and just how he came and humbled himself for us and died for us. How he took, why don't I just read it? 53, verse 4, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned on his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And like a few chapters before that, you have, like, "I am the Lord, like, I am powerful, I am mighty." And it's kind of like, yeah, you are. Like, if you actually think about it, like, wow. And then, you know, a few chapters later, it's Christ and his coming and being, taking our punishment. And he came and did that to give us salvation, to give us the free gift of salvation. And so, I mean, already, like, it's the least I could do is just continue on for him, following him and just persevering for him. This is going a lot faster than last time. The Lord, so there's like an added bonus here, right? So we have the free gift of salvation, you know, if any of you here, you know, have not accepted that, of just being in a relationship with the Lord by just trusting in him. It's free, you can have it, and it's the best decision you'll ever make. But the Lord gives us like this huge, I feel it's like a huge super added bonus to persevere. He's so good to us. And in Hebrews 6, 10 to 12, it says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." And so, like, Paul says it right there. Like, God's not unjust. He's not going to forget everything that you've done for him. Even though you know, our righteousness is as rags to him, but the righteousness that we receive through Christ, and just working for him in that, like you get, he's not going to forget, and he's going to reward you for that. Also have 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There has been just a lot of times where, I don't know, where I've been focusing not on Christ. I've not been focusing on the things above, and I've just been like, you know, like, where's the justice? Where are you? Like, in this, where are you? And, like, this is so huge. Like, what am I going to do to affect any of this? Like, I am just one person. But, I mean, it says right here, like, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. And I just find that really, really encouraging. Just, like, even though it may feel like you're not doing anything, like, that feeling doesn't really matter. You are doing something, and the Lord knows that, and the Lord knows your heart in that, and he's not going to forget it. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that's just, like, that's incredible. Like, I'm already going to heaven. Like, what, like, really, honestly, like, what more could I want? Like, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with Christ, like, hanging out with him and worshiping him. And, like, that's going to be awesome. And I really look forward to that. But, like, not only that, like, we have these added promises of if you work for me, like, I'm going to reward you. And so persevere under the trials you're going through. Persevere through the world that is wicked and that seems pretty hopeless. But then we have the take heart, for I've overcome the world. It's fantastic. So I would just like to encourage you to just think about, you know, what it is that you are focusing on, and if you are feeling like weary, to think about where your focus or what your focus is on, because that could be very much part of the reason why you are weary and why you don't want to persevere. And I know with me this past week, it was like, school's coming up. Oh, no. and so finally, like, I just sat down and I was just like, all right, Lord, like, let's do this. Let's get this done. Let's, like, just give me something. And so he threw this idea into my head. But just remember to ask yourself, where are your eyes fixed? Are they fixed on Christ? Or are they fixed on the things, the disheartening things of this world? And just remember that, you know, like, what you're doing, like, it's not worthless. It will pay off in the end. And just to rest in that fact, even if you don't feel like you are doing anything. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for how truly good you are to us, that you would come, the creator of this universe, the creator of all things in this universe, that you would come and that you would lower yourself so that we would beat you, we would kill you. But you did that out of love for us. I just ask that you would just help us to remember that fact, that of how much you love us, and that is why we should persevere for you. And that if we feel that, you know, what we are doing like doesn't make a difference, that we would just remember your word that reassures us that working for you is the best investment that we can make in doing anything, no matter how small it is. And you will reveal that in the end times. And so we just thank you for that comfort and that encouragement, Lord. I just ask that you would just bless the food downstairs, that we would have a good time of fellowship, and that you would just be with us in this week ahead. We love you. Amen.